All positive natural health programs on HRNradio.com.
Welcome to Kindred Spirit Show on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show is on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As a shaman, author, teacher, and lecturer, I have a very special vision of the people that I invite to join us. I see the beauty and accomplishments of my guests in a sacred way, and they are creators of wisdom and knowledge and share their experiences with the world community. We appreciate their work and celebrate their value to all of us. Without further ado, I would like to introduce my wonderful guest today, Maureen St. Germain, and she has written yet another wonderful book, and she will tell us about it, and I welcome you, Maureen, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn. Always a pleasure to spend time with you, whether it's live or just conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's wonderful. And this new book that you have come out with is fascinating. Can you talk about it a little bit? You're talking about from a point of view of a modern-day mystic who has become, you have become world famous for your trainings in personal development and spiritual awakening in more than two dozen countries. You're the author of three best-selling books, and you are the founder of Transformational Enterprises and the Akashic Record Guide International, and living yourself in 5D and above. There are 12 dimensions described in this book. And, Maureen, you have such a unique first-hand perspective that you impart and you explain how to accelerate the transition into the higher dimensions. So, Maureen, can you talk about the difference between 3D and 5D, et cetera, for my listeners?
First of all, the name of the book is called Waking Up in 5D. Hence, the question is third dimension versus five dimension, fifth dimension. And we all remember that song from the musical group. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius from the fifth dimension. And the fifth dimension is what our traditions teach us is heaven. So it is a vibrational set or a vibrational status that allows us to experience and know ourselves, the people around us, and our divine connection simultaneously. And third dimension is more limited. It has less access. So we know about ourselves a little bit. We know about our friends and neighbors a little bit. And we know even less about our environment, unless we're a shaman like you, Lynn.
Well, that's fascinating. And my a few of my listeners have asked me to ask you, how do you know? How, I mean, is there a frequency check in any way to establish whether you're in 3D or 5D?
Yes. And it's kind of funny because I'm laughing about this because when you're in 5D, you don't really care about these things, whether you're in third or fifth, because you're so in a place of connection with the divine. That's not the kind of question you're even thinking about. It's kind of like when you're super rich, you don't worry about how you're going to make your grocery bill. You know it's taken care of. And that's kind of like that. You have a status and connection with all of life at 5D that kind of a question doesn't even occur to you. But in third dimension, of course, it does. So what happens is you slide into fifth spontaneously, and most everybody is doing that. And I'm going to give you a few markers to help identify that. And then when you slide back into third, then you think to yourself, whoa, what happened? Everything was so nice and rosy, and now look at it. And that's the wake-up from fifth to third, that you notice things aren't as yummy as they can be. Now, the reason everyone is sliding into fifth dimension is because that's where we're all headed. initially, I, along with most every other spiritual teacher out there, thought that when we became fifth dimensional, it was going to be like an overnight success. And in truth, it's more like being a teenager, where we do something very mature one day, and the next day we do something very stupid.
Well, that's so interesting.
The third dimension is so interesting.
You say in your book that everyone's gone 5D. What do you really mean by that, and what's your proof, Maureen?
I have a couple of proofs. Most everybody's had this experience where they put something down. Maybe it's their sunglasses. Maybe it's their favorite hat. And they put it where it's supposed to live, and then they decide they're going to go back out, and they go to that spot where they're supposed to keep that item, and it's not there. And they think to themselves, it hasn't been that long. I didn't fall asleep. I didn't forget. It's supposed to be right here. So maybe they tear apart the drawer. It's still not there. So then they find a spare, and they go do what they need to do. Then they come back. They go to put something away, and there is the missing item. And that's the proof. And here's how I know. For years and years, this goes back 20 years, I was having stuff disappear and reappear just like that. And I always asked, where did my stuff go? And I was always told it's in a higher dimension. But one day, I asked the question, what's going on? And instead of being told that my stuff went to a higher dimension, I was told, Maureen, you were in a higher dimension when you put it down. Now, this is all well and good. You know, I'm telling my students, the students are trying it out. They're finding that they're able to retrieve stuff that's disappeared by simply asking for it to return. Everybody seems to understand the concept. But, you know, even that isn't enough proof for me. So one day when one of my sons came home, 16 years old, he throws something in his backpack, throws that on the floor, comes in the kitchen, starts to tell me his story, and then says, here, I'll show you what I mean. And he goes back to the backpack where he had put this item on top, and it's not there. And he gets this wild look on his face, and he looks at me and he said, Mom, I just put it there. And I said, I know. I saw you do it. And without even thinking about it, because I was at home with my son, I said, oh, honey, we'll just ask for it to come back. And let's come back in the kitchen, finish the story, and then we'll look again. So that's what we did. When he went back the second time, after he'd put everything back in his backpack, he looked the second time, and there it was, right on top, where he had left it. And that's how I knew I wasn't making it up, because that particular son is the most grounded of my four sons, and I had a witness. I was the witness to him. That's one point,
wow.
But we'll have more in a minute.
Well, I think that we all have things like that that happen to us. Certainly it happens to me really all the time lately. It's very weird, and I think, gosh, you know, am I losing my mind here?
No.
And I think
the answer. When that occurs, you simply announce, if it's in a higher dimension, I'd like it back. Thank you very much. And then you relax, and you slide back up, and you'll see it. It's quite astounding. And the other proof I have is really interesting, but I've had reports from lots of people, so I know it's valid. Let's say you're sitting in traffic in your car, and you're the third car back from a red stoplight. The light changes. All the people at the crosswalk don't move. The car in the front spot doesn't move. You're not in a hurry. You're not thinking about it. You're just watching, really, kind of in a relaxed place. And then everybody notices the light has changed, and they move. Well, what's really happening is in fifth dimension, you are actually seeing in real time before third dimension sees real time. So that 3 seconds or 5 seconds ahead of time is you observing the reality from a fifth dimensional perspective, because you're still able to participate in third dimension from fifth as we shift and change all those locations and environments are able to merge right now. I say merge, but that's not the right word. You can slide between them. And so you, the observer, seeing the light change, it has not yet changed for people in 3D. And that's happening to a lot of people. And when I define it that way, then they can say, that's happened to me a lot. So that's another way to know that you've been in the higher dimensions.
When you pass on into spirit or whatever we call it, is that a fifth dimension?
Probably I will go much higher right away. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just talking with one of my sons this morning, and I said, I've started a picture folder that says, use at my funeral. And I said, I don't want any funky pictures of me out there. And I was joking around, but I thought it was such a clever idea to do when you're healthy and well, and you can laugh about it. So when I pass on, I fully expect that I will move beyond the dimensions as we understand them into higher and higher realms. So, you know, the soul will move to a place of higher vibration, maybe seventh or eighth or ninth dimension. And there are schools at the sixth and seventh dimension that people go to examine their life and their decisions and what they want to do next. So, you know, you could be able to correspondingly go to other places. Now, there's something else that I have experienced that is also very unique, as you say, some of the things that I have been given as information, and that is that I see multiple versions of me in higher dimensions. So when I
hear what I heard you say, multiple virgins. I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit.
Sorry about
but
that.
But you said versions, not virgins.
Yeah. I don't think you.
Oh, God, that's funny.
That's cute. That's really cute. Well, I'm really glad we're having fun here, because it's that kind of a day. Those other versions of me are actively feeding me data behind the scenes. And that allows me to connect with the higher vibrational information. And anybody can do this, by the way. All they have to do is, do the work.
And the work is outlined in your book?
Well, I would say the book is a place to start. Like you, I have an ascension school, a mystery school that gives people the opportunity to develop the skills they need so that they can acquire connection with the divine, and they can fine-tune themselves, they can clear out their trauma, they can clear out their drama and their wounds, and then they become a clear channel.
Uh-huh. So you teach people to become channels, basically.
Not just to become channels, to be fully actualized fifth-dimensional beings. So
say that again. I couldn't quite hear you.
Fully actualized fifth-dimensional beings. So it's not just about becoming a channel. It's about acquiring all of the spiritual gifts, activating the spiritual centers, moving your consciousness to a place that is so expanded that you can actually reside in higher dimensions and your third dimensional body at the same time.
That's fabulous. What happened, Maureen, to 4D? Why are we jumping from 3D to 5D?
Well, 4D is a nexus. It is a place where we're using it to hold big emotions. It's a place where it's like the junk drawer in our house. And it's used as a portal to go to the higher dimensions. So I jokingly refer to it as Grand Central. No one goes to Grand Central to spend the night, but you definitely go to Grand Central to get somewhere else. The fourth dimension in my world is based on the basis, it's emotions. The elementals are being projected from fourth dimension it would be probably the shamanic world that you know, and it also has polarity. Fifth dimension does not have polarity. So we're literally going from third and going through fourth, but we're not stopping there. We're just, you know, we're just on our way to fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a quality about fourth dimension that is speeded up compared to third. So when we are extra emotional or extra joyful, we actually are moving or vibrating faster. And when we are extra joyful, we will slide into the vortex that's going upward and get right into fifth. And when we're extra sad, then we slide down into the lower realms of fourth, which are, you know, the crying jags, the high emotions, that kind of stuff. In What Dreams May Come, where the protagonist's wife was stuck and he had to go back and get her, and he kept trying to convince her, and she had to let go of her self-judgment before she could go with him to the higher realm.
Huh. When you say higher realms, you're talking about a frequency. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. That is correct.
So what does that feel like in your body, for instance?
Each person has a different experience, but it is the equivalent of no resistance. So the flow, mm-hmm. whatever it is smooth and gracious. And thoughts are loving and generous. You're never satisfied until both sides are satisfied. So if you're buying a car, for example, and you're trying to get a good deal, but you don't want to take advantage of the seller, you keep asking, so can you work with that? Can you live with that? If I only have this amount of money, could you still sell me the car? There's a quality of concern for others that is equal to the concern you have for yourself.
Huh, that is so interesting. Is there more about the dimensions that you'd like to share with all of us?
Yes, I would. I'd like to give a couple of other, like, insider tips kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know how when you meditate sometimes and you think you've fallen asleep, and then when the meditation is over, you know, the group ends their meditation and your eyes are wide open and you're wide awake, and the friend you came with pokes you and says, "You fell asleep again." And you think to yourself, "Really? I didn't remember falling asleep. I don't remember anything." And that is when we're going to the eighth dimension. Now, what happens at the eighth dimension is it's the last place that we have any connection to the 3D world that we know. So when we go to these higher realms, the consciousness shuts the body down and puts you on quiet, if you will. It's kind of like if you had a body elemental, and everyone does, and let's say your body elemental runs the show, is like the engineer of your body system. It's like the body elemental gets on the PA system and announces, she's going really deep. Shut everything down to minimum. Take a coffee break. We'll let you know when she's on her way back. And it's kind of a joke, but it lets people understand that your body is responding to the consciousness that is reaching higher and higher. And there is nothing after eighth dimension that pertains to these lower dimensions that you can bring back as a tangible thing that you remember. So you will bring back information bits. You will bring back experiences. You will bring back energetic gifts. And they will be integrated, and you'll get these ahas as they unfold or as they unpack. Kind of like when you think about a computer and you download a zip file, it sits there till you open it. So the higher dimensions are consciousness more than they are body.
And so what I'd like to talk to you about in the next few minutes that we have is about the brain. And we'll be right back after station identification.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
We are talking with Maureen Saint-Germain, who has a brand new wonderful book out about living in 5D. And one of the things that I would like to ask you, Maureen, is you were talking about what it's like to be in 5D as opposed to, say, 3D or other dimensions. When in shamanism, oftentimes, instead of ascension or moving down or moving up, we move inside to dimensions within our consciousness or within the brain. In other words, activating different synapse connections, moving from left brain to right brain, stimulating the pineal gland and all of the things that happen within the brain across the hypothalamus, etc., and aspects of the brain, huge aspects of the brain that we never use. But in shamanism, without being able to actually explain it, because we're talking about the abstract, not the linear explanation of different acts of consciousness. Do you ever have that feeling that you're going within? What brought you to this feeling that you're going up?
Ah, that's a good point. I liked what you just said about going within, and I have no attachment. I use up just as a point of direction because I have always studied the metaphysical systems that were based on the rays and the chakras, and so it's simply a way to label it. Also, because I'm a musician, I think of higher frequency, not necessarily as being better, but simply another location. So sometimes people mistake the word higher to imply that this is better. And so your description, I would not argue with. I would say, yeah, that works for me. I don't use those terms, but I would agree with them. So that's one part. The other part I wanted to note is that you made a reference to linear thinking, and this is something that came to me through years of contemplation about linear versus dynamic. And linear is based on cause and effect. It's based on logic, and it's based on this, you know, if this, then that. And that's a very 3D way of looking at things. And as we expand dimensionally, whether it's inward or upward, the expansion is non-linear. And non-linear is defined in a number of ways, but one way they do it in science is to refer to chaos theory, which implies you could have input, 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 and then a sudden shift. Input, 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 and a sudden shift. Whereas if you step on the gas when you're driving down the road, you're going to get to your destination faster. That's a direct correlation. It is a linear. But when an avalanche is caused by a small rolling snowball, that's dynamic. And what I realized is that third dimension is linear, and fifth dimension is dynamic and beyond. So it's very exciting to me as we talk about the terms you use in shamanism and the terms that I'm using in esoteric ascension work are very aligned. And it allows us to consider the possibility, because it isn't until we consider the possibility that we begin to comprehend what we're capable of. And what I mean by that is I figured out there is only one question to ask when you are surprised by the events in front of you. And that question is, what is going on? Or I wonder what is going on, because it's completely open-ended and it has the full spectrum of possibilities. When you ask who or when or why or how, you are asking on a linear time frame. You're asking who did this so I can go back and yell at them. Or why did this happen so I can prevent that from happening again? But when you say what's going on, you're simply saying, tell me the story of now.
Yeah, that is, that's a beautiful way of putting it. excuse me. Why do you say that the game has changed?
The reason I say the game has changed is because, because that's what my guide said. I'll start with that. And they literally came in and said, it's not new rules, it's the game has changed. And that's because up until now we've been working in a polarity reality. In other words, we're working in a board set, whether it's checkers or chess or a video game, where there are players on each side that are choosing to play to win over the other.
Mm-hmm.
The new game is a game where we all celebrate each other's accomplishments and we are concerned about each other's welfare. And that is so dramatically different from the game we've been playing that it deserves to be a new game and not just trying to adjust the old game.
That's interesting. I talked about that in my earlier books, about how taking your power is really standing in the essence of who you are, in the certainly the frequency of, say, centeredness or the oneness with all life. It's not power over anyone or anything, but it is the ability to stand in your power.
Exactly. And the thing is, in the old paradigm, I'll call it the masculine Western way, it was always about having power over someone or something, and this new way is absolutely centered, absolutely based on collecting data with the mind and then using the heart to make the decision. So it's a dance instead of a power play, which is a new game.
Right. You know, there's something I'm eager to ask you, so I'm going to jump in with this. Can you talk about the dragon?
Yes. I would love to talk about the dragons. The dragons came in to me, about 10 years ago. And it's so funny because I am very attracted to people who are dragons, like you, and like a mutual friend that we have. And I always discover later that they're dragons. But they came in to the reality in about 2010.
In about what?
2010, as a new vibrational availability. In other words, they've always been available to the shamans. But the dragons have made themselves available in the third dimension to anyone who wants to claim it. And, you know, I've been on national radio shows like George Norrie's Coast to Coast, and people write me and say, I asked to meet my dragon, just like you said, and I could not believe it. It showed up. It gave me its name. I could see the color. I'm so blown away. And that's the experience that I'm saying. It's now available to everyone. They've come back. They were chased out of the reality by probably the Christians. And so the presence of the dragons is not in the physical as you and I would see them, but they're definitely available to the third dimension, and they are elemental. In my world, they're elemental, like the gnomes and the fairies and the elves, but they're different in that they do have free will and that they are not from the same wave as the earth elementals. They're from a different wave that gives them the freedom to support humanity. One other thing I want to say before we take the break is that when a person sits down and they say, okay, these ladies say that there's dragons for me and I can call them in, I can ask them their name, I can ask to see them. Once you get that information, do not tell all your friends. Keep it sacred. Do not repeat
that. That's very interesting, Maureen. Let me comment on that in just a moment after station identification.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Welcome back. Maureen and I were talking about something fascinating. We were talking about dragons and calling in your dragon or telling your dragon that you are available to see them. And you know that the dragon supports humanity and that it is not a scary thing from what I gather, Maureen, but something that is enhances your understanding of the universe. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because dragons are all about clarity. But there's a lot of things you can ask your dragon, but I'll let you finish your thought first. So what we were saying offline is Lynn was telling me that just like in the shamanic work, you don't tell this information. It's sacred. You treat it with great respect, and you don't share it because it makes you vulnerable.
Yeah, that's if in the Native American traditions, let's say you receive your medicine, which is an animal that, say, represents your original nature when you were born. Usually, they don't necessarily tell anyone about their medicine. Let's say they received a dragon. Let's say they received horse medicine, whatever. They usually keep it to themselves because it can make you vulnerable in a way. And in the world of the Native American, I don't teach Native American medicine, by the way, but in the Native American world, there is a lot of, it's from ancient times for the most part, and it was quite a different world in those days.
Yeah,
and so when you move that up and, go ahead.
What I found, is that having your dragon's name is equivalent to calling your pet. And so your dragon will respond when you call your dragon by name. But if you give someone else your dragon's name, then they can be called in to support you. And this is why you wouldn't share the name of your dragon with anyone, but perhaps your beloved or your, you know, someone who's working with you and you're connecting you mm-hmm. in a special way.
So that's interesting, because medicine, when we call in our power animal, it is a great empowerment. It's not like a pet.
That was just a metaphor. Yeah, absolutely.
I know what you're saying.
No.
And that's wonderful. Anyway, go ahead, sweetie. You had a story that you wanted to tell us about the dragon.
I wanted to share some fun things that allow you to really benefit from having your dragon helping you. The first thing is, practically everybody, unless you live in a city where it's really good mass transit, everybody of us are driving where we go. And when we run into traffic or traffic snafus, we can call on the dragons to ease the traffic and to help ourselves and everyone around us get where we need to go with grace and ease. And it's like somebody greases the wheels and the traffic opens wide. That's one really powerful tool. Excuse me.
And a parking place too, I've noticed.
Yes. And one man who lives in New England, and New England is loaded with these twisty, turny roads and horrible turnoffs and, you know, ingresses and egresses. And this man was hearing his wife and I talk about the dragons quite a bit. And one day he said, I'm going to ask them to help me with my morning commute because it's so hard. He comes to work exhausted. And he came home that night and he said to his wife, from now on, I'm asking the dragons to take over the driving every day. He said, not one person pulled out in front of me. Everyone made way when I needed to make a turn. And the traffic was easy. There's still lots of traffic, but it was easy and it kept moving. I'm so impressed. So remember the dragons for traffic. And then the dragons can also help you with clarity. So let's say you're having a conversation with someone or you're hearing a story and you're wondering about, is that really true or maybe that's only partially true? So you ask the dragons to help you see the truth of whatever it is you're being told. And what that does is gives you the ability to discern the validity of what's being said or the percentage of the validity or what parts are real. And it's helpful because as we become more and more spiritual, and all of humanity is becoming more spiritual, we are being taught by many, many people. And some teachers who are even well-intentioned will accidentally tell you something that's not so. And perhaps they were taught wrong. Maybe they got it from their guides who had an agenda. Maybe they're channeling a dark energy. Who knows? But we don't judge that. We just look at that and say, okay, that little piece is not valid for me. this, of my experience with the dragons and what they're showing me. And then we keep going. We don't say we have to throw the teacher out. We just throw out the bits that don't hold validity. And that's very useful for the dragons.
Yeah,
also, the dragons are very good at writing. So mothers, if you have sons or daughters that need to do a term paper or a thesis, you can tell them, call in the dragons to help you with writing. And they will literally help you get that literary groove on. And then just give me that word.
Yes. That's fabulous. And there's one thing I also want clarity on. you talk about the 5D Merkaba. Can you tell us what does that have to do with all of this?
I will. As we become fifth dimensional and we develop our higher and finer bodies, we are actually moving some of our consciousness into that, and we're going to integrate our lower chakras and our lower vibrational stuff into the high heart. And the fifth dimensional Merkaba came to me. I did not write it, did not make it up, but it was channeled by someone who wishes to remain anonymous. And it was brought to me by another teacher who was authorized to do that. And so I agreed to record it and do the sound activation, which is part of the actual meditation itself. And the fifth dimensional Merkaba activates energetic fields around the body that haven't even been available before now. So it's like once we open the door to the fifth dimension and we slide in there and then we slide out, we slide in there and we slide out, we started the process of building a new etheric body. So this meditation takes about 15 minutes to do, and then there's a 15-minute voice activation. The full text is in the book, Waking Up in 5D. But if you want to have the meditation called out for you and get the sound activation, which I highly recommend, then you would order the CD. The sound activation is done by a spiritual channel by the name of Janice Jaffe. And she is the person who incubated this 5D Merkaba for about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years before she brought it to me. And we brought it
out. What is his name again?
Her name is Janice Jaffe, J-A-F-F-E.
Denise Jaffe?
It's like Denise with a J, like James.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So
oh my goodness!
Five,
yeah,
five
another.
Merkaba, yeah, the 5D.
I'm sorry, Maureen. We have another station identification. Forgive me for breaking in.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk, 24 hours a day, every day.
There are two things, Maureen, I want to jump to because we don't have enough time. The first one is, why do you say that there is no more karma, and who are the serendipities, and can you tell us about them?
Yes. I was told there is no more karma in 1995. When I was given this information by my guides, I remember thinking, wow, that's a mouthful. That's pretty intense. And so I kind of wrestled with it myself. Then I took it to two very spiritual friends of mine who are also were students of mine, highly evolved Buddhist chanters, and I fully expected them to support me. But instead, all I can say is this information was not received well. How can this be? And so I asked about it and asked about it and asked about it. I released it in one of my books in a very kind of genteel, almost hidden way, because I wanted to go on record as having said it, but at the same time I was a little afraid of the fallout like I had with my two friends.
So why do I understand?
I say normal karma? What I get from the guides is that karma is no longer necessary because we are moving from a polarity world to a non-polarity world. So the scorekeeping of good versus bad or evil versus heavenliness is not existent anymore. And when you're 5D, you only would make a heavenly choice, but not
you only
you're have
you only
a heavenly choice, a God choice. You know, in 5D, mm-hmm. you're so concerned about everyone else as much as yourself that you're not going to make a selfish choice, you see. So, and I want to give a metaphor. And the metaphor is, compare someone who worked their way through college and you know, worked really hard and got their college paid off in a couple of years. The person who had huge loans and borrowed money to get through college. And the person whose parents paid their way. At some point, those three men, let's say, compare notes. Not one of them thinks they have a better education because they worked through college. Not one of them thinks that they are better than the other guy because they got a free ride. And what's going to happen is Spirit has told me there are enough experiences in what I would call the data set. We don't need any more experiences. God herself, himself, is tired of man's inhumanity to man. So they basically put a stop to that game. And that's really the number one reason why it's a new game. Because karma is no longer the governing force. Love is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is a very powerful thing to say. And we're so short of time, I'm going to jump to something else, and my listeners are just going to have to, you know, think about that. And who are the serendipities? And can you tell us about them, Maureen?
Yes, the serendipities are 11th dimensional beings that came in to one of my guides, somebody who's in my network that's certified by me and trained by me, and they started giving her information. And she started giving me information, and I started to bring them forth. I've had firsthand experience with them. I have seen them, and they are remarkable beings that solve problems, that send only love into a system. So, you know those sparklers that you get for kids at the 4th of July? They're like things. That's their energy. It's very, very sparkly. It can be intense. It can be light. When we bring them in and bring them into our heart, then our whole chronic tube becomes all glistening and sparkly. We can send them to solve a problem, which I have done, and they helped solve a huge problem I had in China where my host had basically broken the law and now was in trouble. And I'm looking around saying, I'm the foreigner here. Who's going to take that hit? And the serendipities literally fixed it. And what happened is I went to sleep that night after all this drama, and I was awoken, and I saw this group of beings. And to describe it in 3D terms, I would say it looked like a bunch of shiny gummy bears, all long shaped, like a long worm, maybe. And they had bright neon colors, and they had faces, but they weren't really distinguishable. And they laid out this piece of paper, and they did some stuff, and then they kind of folded the paper up like you would an origami. And then finally the paper disappeared, and they disappeared. And I looked at that, and I said, what did I just see? And I was told, that's the serendipity. They've handled the problem. It's taken care of.
Oh, that's fabulous. I'd love to ask you about that further. To go on here more quickly, what will the ascension bring to my listeners?
The great golden age that we've all been pining for. And I'd like to share a tool. I have many, many tools that I would like to offer your listeners. One of them is a meditation called Divine Government Meditation. And it takes every leader, whether it's your spouse or your boss or your mayor or all the way up to the top, and prays for them, and it leads you through this meditation. It's 11 minutes long, and it really helps you shape your focus. And my baby reminder is, if I told you, Lynn, that one of my sons was in trouble, you would pray for him. So when we see our leaders in trouble or making poor decisions, instead of complaining, we should be praying for them. And the Divine Government Meditation is a guided meditation you can download for free, and it's wonderful. I've got lots of wonderful feedback on it. And another tool I want to share before we close is the idea that everybody can make energy more fifth dimensional by a simple statement that they can say every day, and that is this. I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with.
Yes, that's beautiful. And I guess we are finished with the show. I am so upset that we've run out of time already. Maureen Saint-Germain, your beautiful new book, can you tell everybody how to reach you?
Yes, MaureenSaintGermain.com is my website. You can buy the book on Amazon. The best price is on Amazon Prime because they'll ship it for free and they'll give you a $5 discount. You can buy it on my website, but I have to buy them from the publisher, so I have to charge you regular price. We also always have freebies for you and articles for you to read. MaureenSaintGermain.blog is my blog site, and there's a lot of wonderful information on that as well, and also occasional free downloads on that as well. And all my downloads are guided meditations that give you a purpose, give you a structure. So if you're one of those people who has monkey mind, these are for you.
Oh, God, that's wonderful, Maureen. I love talking with you. And I know my listeners were looking forward to this interview. And thank you so much for writing your books and all that you do in the world to make our life so much more bright.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetheart. Namaste to you.
Namaste.